love kids. I used to be a kid, and that was a long time ago. Real long time ago. You know, we all come from very diverse and various backgrounds and situations, some going in this congregation going back 50 to 60 years, or maybe even more, and others perhaps have been here for less than a year. Now, I know there are some few that have done that already, and it's good to have everybody here. And, you know, each one of us, we all struggle with various difficulties in life, with health issues, with job issues, with so much going on, and there's so much deception out in the world, and it gets very confusing for every one of us. I'd like to tell you a little story about myself. Early in life, I literally came out of a place called Babylon. And we've all heard that term of Babylon, and it meant a whole lot of confusion, and it's mentioned multiple times in the Bible. Be interesting to do a study and search it. Well, for a while, I was raised for close to a year to almost 2 years in a town called Babylon, Long Island. And to put it mildly, for me, it was a terribly confusing time because of the way things had happened in my life. It was terribly confusing, and it was very unsettling. Even as we find today, people are very unsettled, even more and more. Later in time, I began to realize the situation and confusion concerning terms like Babylon and Babylon of confusion. Currently, the world is in a great crisis, and Christians, no matter the brand, are being criticized, diminished, and increasingly persecuted. In this, I am reminded of these plagues of Egypt, wherein even ancient Israel suffered through some of those plagues. Egypt held a stranglehold on Israel. Israel had to suffer through those plagues before it was liberated by God and they fled Egypt. It grieves me so much because there's so many people that do have troubles this day and age. You know who you are. I know I've had my own share of difficulties. I've had my highs and lows. Every one of us, unless I was a statue and I had no feelings, we feel these ups and downs in life. And we should never forget to never, ever give up. Remember, ancient Israel was a chosen people. We are a chosen people. Each one of us is called a chosen generation. And this comes out of the New King James Version, 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen generation. Other versions, or many other versions, also use the word race, a chosen race. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. The title of this message is The Trials of the Saints Amidst the End Time Babylon. And the basic synopsis is, in the time of the end, mankind and the saints will struggle even as there is a rising strong power in a great and frightening era during a Babylon of confusion. How can we, who are called saints of God, stand firm in this time of difficulty and strife? First point is, just who are we? Where are we as saints in God's scheme of things? First, let's read this in 1 Peter 1:15-16. I'll read this out of my notes. I believe this is from the English Standard Version. 1 Peter 1:15-16. But as he who has called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And we are to emulate the great God in heaven. despite our trials and struggles, we must bear with these difficulties and we must endure. We are told to endure to the end. Romans 8:14. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Throughout Scripture, God's people are called sons of God. Also consider this, for in the entirety of the Bible, the word saints is used in 34 times in the Old Testament and 61 times in the New Testament. That's a lot of study to go through and to read those verses. And I would recommend that sometime. It will help put us all in perspective of who we are, where we are, and where we are going. Let's carefully read this out of 1 Corinthians 1:2-3. And this is out of this English Standard. Mostly I try to use the English Standard Version. Sometimes there's a slightly better system that a person could use. But it says here in 1 Corinthians 1:2-3, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus. Sanctified means set aside. Called to be saints together with all those who in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. In verse 3 says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Elsewhere in Scripture, we can read someplace in Revelation, one of the latter books, the last book, Revelation 14:12. Here is a call for the endurance of the saints. There's that word again. And I'll repeat that. Revelation 14:12. Here is a call for the endurance of the saints, those who keep the commandments of God and their faith in Jesus Christ. So much for all those that say all you have to do is just believe in God and you don't have to worry about anything else. No, we are an obedient group of people. We obey God's Ten Commandments. We draw closer to God by living the way God would have us to live, not because of the way we would like to live. And consider this on the world scene. The Bible for many is no longer considered relevant. And we've seen that happen more and more in this nation and other nations that call themselves Christian. Christians are being diminished. Societies around the world, the words of agnostics, atheists, and nihilists, meaning no moral codes are needed, are considered relevant in most areas of life. Christianity is being pushed into the background while societies are going downhill. We have seen the fruits of this in the last century and the crises of this century. The last century was a horrible century for wars. This century, there's still continuing wars, with always the possibility of nuclear weapons being used in the near future. So many have suffered like never before. I know in some health issues. I had some serious health issues when I first came into the church, and I improved. But as you get older, life just wears on you. And so many friends, we hear this person and that person ending up in the hospital. How many people can you visit in the hospital? There's so many. We do what we can to show that we care. The world scene gets crazier and crazier. Morals are sliding ever downward, and there are continuing sounds of war and moral crises among the nations around the world. Multitudes are discouraged and overwhelmed. I read some of this stuff on Facebook. People just want to give up. And I see swaths of people that have just turned away from God. And they can't even comprehend looking to a God because they've bought so much into areas of life where they say, oh, all you have to do is follow this political person and everything will be okay. When in history has that ever happened? We've had little spurts up and big jumps down. I know many people who have been down in the dumps, and I've had my own times like that. But let's read something here concerning the nation, or concerning nations rising against nation. And you could turn to Matthew 24:7. And this is out of the English Standard Version. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. Most of us who are old, or older, I should say, we're never old. There's always somebody older than me, so I'm not too worried about that. As a little boy, I knew there were crises in the nation. There were crises in the world. I remember when China and India were ready to go to war in the early 50s. And these things continue with one war after another. Some not as bad, but some of them, and the revolutions in certain nations, where sometimes in a place like Rwanda, nearly 1 million people died in a 9-month period. And the responsible party was one of the politicians in the area. And nations think they could solve their problems. They swap out a difficult situation and they get into a worse situation. We could look at some places in South America. They had a prospering society. And now they are sunken to a third world nation. In this day and age, many people have come to detest the news media. I don't know, I didn't start in this day and age. I started about 30 years ago because I began to see things 30 years ago. 1995 rolled around, and there were papers that I trusted when I was a little kid that I could no longer trust for good news. It says here in 2 Corinthians 11:14, and no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So many people use smooth, slick, sly words to confuse and mislead. And it appears most people are gradually buying into a diet of spiritual junk food and propaganda. Stay the course. Stay on target. Don't get caught up in the crises of this world. We have a better calling. Fewer and fewer people seem to be interested in the truth and things of God. Let's turn to 2 Thessalonians 2:11-12. For this reason, God will send them a powerful delusion so that they will believe the lie, in order that judgment will come upon all who have disbelieved the truth and delighted in wickedness. How many do we know among former family, friends, maybe even current family and friends, who are taking the side of the lemmings going off into the sea? Let's face it, so many, I at times have forgotten. We get focused on doing certain things our way. We have forgotten things along the way. Isaiah declares this in Isaiah 30:10. Do not prophesy to us what is right. Speak to us smooth things. Prophesy illusion. Certain areas of the nation are festering sores, and the politicians will say, everything is okay. Well, maybe for him, but not for many of the others. I shouldn't have said just him. It could be him or her. People readily in or out of the church can easily stray or turn from the truth. There's very subtle arguments out there. I've seen them all over Facebook. I've heard it in conversations where people will slip into false doctrine. And if you try to help, they turn away. Because their way is now the right way, or so they think. My second point, stay prepared as saints of God. We must be ever vigilant to show ourselves approved. Let's read this in 1 Peter 5:8. 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, that's Satan, or anybody who's buying into it, the things of Satan, that is. For your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Through the years, we've seen a lot of people drop away. Like, where did they go? What did they do? It's not over for them yet. God is not finished, no matter who we are. We don't know who's committed the unpardonable sin. A lot of people are confused by things they hear. I get befuddled at times, too, and I think, what's going on? Read the book. Dig deeper. Seek that hope. Are we really preparing our minds and hearts? And like I say, there's so many people that are suffering sore trials like never before. And this reminds me in some ways about the time Israel came out of Egypt during the time of the Exodus. They had difficulties going along the way. They felt some of the pain. We feel the pain of society today in our own, amongst our own people. If somebody here is not feeling any of the pain, could you tell me later, how are you managing to do that? It takes, in my opinion, a lot of prayer. A lot of redirecting to the right path that God would have us to go. What do we do in troubled times? Many false prophets and supposed angels of light. Somebody has a brilliant idea and says, whoa, if we just did it this way, everything would be just snazzy or perfect. Only to find out that there's deception involved in a lot of this. Basically, it's to bloat somebody's ego. And that happens so often. Each one of us, as a Christian, as a saint of God, needs to maintain humility. We see a lot of this throughout social media, and you name it, it's out there. If we turn our backs on anything, let it be the bad, the evil, the wicked things that beset or confront each of us, either subtly or overtly. Let's look at 2 Timothy 2:15-18. 2 Timothy 2:15-18. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. Verse 16, but avoid irreverent babble, for it will lead people into more ungodliness. Be careful. Let us be careful about what we say and do. And verse 17, I love the word here. And I think anybody in the medical field, anybody that has had a health issue will understand. And their talk will spread like gangrene. I've heard of that happening. And then people would lose entire limbs because of the diseased flesh or bone, however it takes place. You know, there's very powerful words in Scripture that will warn us, stay away from that area. Go this way. Don't go that way. If we're not careful, the wrong direction will take us and put a chink in whatever armor we may have left. We ought to stand fast in the faith. Let us turn and read in 1 Timothy 4, 1 to 2. 1 Timothy 4, 1 to 2. Now the Spirit expressly says that in later, some versions will say latter. I like the word latter times, rather than later times, but that's just a personal choice. We could do what we want with that word. But the latter times, some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits, teachings of demons, through the insincerity of liars whose consciences are seared. Do we know people like that? I know of people that got caught up in things like that. Someday I would rejoice to see them walk through the doors. We don't know who's committed that unpardonable sin. And many people were deceived by what appeared to be good people. God isn't finished with any of us, whether we're riding the pinnacle, or riding a high horse, or whether we're down in the dumps. I once told, and I've told this before, a minister many years ago, probably about 30 years ago, said, Joe, where you been? I said, I've been down in the dumps. And he said to me, well, how's the food down there? I thought, well, it wasn't so good. Somebody didn't like that. Actually, for me, it's what I needed. The food was not good. It was not comfortable. Let's be wary of straying from the truth because of the flaws of others. You know, somebody might do something to us and we get so angry and we pull away from them and anybody associated with them. Throughout Scripture, we're warned. Go to your brother when there's a problem. Seek counsel. Don't let that thing egg you on. So many have problems with family members that have gone on for years and years. I remember the poor lady, she hardly knew her father. She was a movie actress. And she found her father 50 years later living in Ireland. And she brought him back, or brought him to America. She did a good thing there. She could have groused along the way and said, he abandoned me. Well, maybe, maybe not. We don't know all the circumstances in people's lives. Third point. We are a chosen generation, a chosen people, and we need to stand fast in the ways of the Lord. And we are called saints of God. Let's turn to 1 Peter 2:9. 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, and you may proclaim, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. These chosen generations are saints of God. Here's what it says in Acts 9:13. And we'll then skip over to 32. Acts 9:13 and then 32. But Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints." The people were called saints. And the word saints comes from the word hagios. You could look that up and see how many times, like I said, it's nearly, the word saints is found about 100 times in Scripture, all told. Read all of them if you have the time. And I know it's difficult, but it helps to put everything into context. Especially because there were saints in the Old Testament and saints in the New Testament. And let's continue on. In verse 32, "Now, as Peter went here and there among them all, he came down also to the saints who lived at Lydda." Or Lydda, however we would want to say that. Remember what it says in Proverbs 3:1. "My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments." And that is despite adversity and struggle. Note also this, and this is important, in Mark 12:30 to 32. "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength." That's the first commandment. And verse 31, "The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." These two don't do away with all the others, but all the others are subordinate to these. We don't steal. We don't lie. We don't commit adultery. These are important things. This nation has thrown most of those things out the window. The nation has gone into a sewer. I worked in a sewer plant, and I tell you what, they can get kind of stinky at times, really stinky. And in verse 32, "The scribe said to him, 'You are right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one, and there is no other beside him.'" So then we read this, 2 Timothy 2:15. "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth." And John 8:31 to 32. "So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, 'If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples.'" Let's not go off and stray. But then we read also in verse 32, "And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Free from what? The bondage of sin, which is the transgression of the law. And so many, like I said, are pushing that aside, and it's almost like a free-for-all. Do anything you want, and it's okay. Well, it's not. Stealing somebody's property is not good. On and on it goes. While we're still on this third point, let us all, as saints of God, consider some guidelines. I'm going to list five, and I'll try to read them slowly and maybe repeat them. First point, Beware of pointing the finger, for it is so easy to hurl accusations and get embedded in the fights of the world. That's Isaiah 58:9. Isaiah 58:9. Don't point the finger. I would tell kids when I did substitute teaching, I said, when you're pointing your finger at somebody and saying, look what they did, remember you have three pointing back. You know what they did? They threw all fingers forward. Just like kids. Hopefully we don't do that. Number two, guard your tongue and mind. Guard your tongue and mind, and that is Psalm 34:13. Psalm 34:13. We're not turning to all of these. There's not enough time to do all of that. But you could look that up later, if possible. I know I have a hard time doing that, but Psalm 34:13. And number three, do the will of the Father and Christ, Ephesians 5:7. Do the will of the Father and Christ, Ephesians 5:17. Number four, if there are problems, go to your brother in private, or sister, or mother, or father. You go to the person in private. That is sometimes so hard to do, because we don't know if the person will lash out at us. If they do, you walk away. You did your part. Someday they may say, I think I goofed. Be receptive and willing to heal that breach. So I'll repeat that. If there are problems, go to your brother in private. Matthew 18:15. That's Matthew 18:15. Number five. What if a special person is gone a long time? Maybe there's somebody that left in 1995. What if they walked through that door? What would we say? The word prodigal son is not really found in Scripture. I didn't fully realize that until I looked up the word prodigal and it wasn't in there. Maybe in some versions someplace. But in Luke 15:11-32, read that example of how the father welcomed his son back. He didn't berate him, accuse him, slap him around. He welcomed him back. I would love to see. I was thinking about a man who was really good back in the 70s here in Phoenix. And I know he went off somewhere, and I know the reasons why or part of it. I would love to see a person like that come back. And then there were some people that I didn't like. I would love to see them come back. And I would not say, why did you do that to me? Or however they might have treated me inappropriately. I would welcome them back, even as the father welcomed his son back, and he rejoiced that his son was home. Let's begin to draw this to a conclusion. Therefore, since we are surrounded, and this is Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. The world is not going to get any better. There may be ups and downs, but overall, most societies eventually crash. Where are we? What will happen next 5 years? I don't have a clue. It doesn't look good. Be prepared for the worst. Hope for the best. Hope that God will help us to see us through the struggles. Remember this. We do have a higher calling and a great responsibility towards our friends, towards what God wants us to do. Whatever we do, let us as saints of God not forsake our high calling, especially as we see moral codes going down the tubes, as we've already said, and the world is, everybody's ready to strike out in anger with each other. Traffic is horrible sometimes. People zig when they shouldn't even be zagging, and it is so awkward. I see some smiles, and I think you probably came close. There's bad things that happen to good people sometimes. Remember this in 2 Timothy 2:12. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. Let that not be. Let us stay that course. Meanwhile, never forget, before starting the day, to ask in your prayers, what can I do to help heal any breach in a relationship, whether with a man, woman, children, or whatever? 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Finally, brethren, female, all brothers in Christ. Revelation 19:18. It was granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure, for the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints. That's what we are. Never forget these things. God be with all of you. May you all stand strong in the faith and stay the course. Work with each other for the betterment of the church and for each other.